That's how serious it is. The most important. And I've done a lot of teachings. A lot of them. But this one is the most important. Because it's the most misunderstood book in the entire New Testament. And if you misunderstand it, you will go in error. But if you understand it, then you will understand Torah. Now, how many see how important it is? So this trumps us doing Torah portion. That's why we're letting people do it on their own. Because you won't even understand the Torah. How many want? We are learning a lot in Torah. A lot. Can you imagine the light come on when you're reading it? That's what this teaching will do. It'll make the light come on for the rest of Scripture. That's how critical it is. So, I started out and I told you, we gave a warning. The warning was that Peter gave his warning. Now his warning, let me just say something, I'll talk about it again, but Peter was an apostle to the Gentiles before Paul. But most people in church today, if you ask them, well, who's the apostle to the Gentile? They'll say Paul. They skip right over Peter. Well, we're going to talk about that if we can get there tonight. We'll talk about more of that. But how many know he was the one giving the vision on the rooftop? Yeah. It was Peter. Yes. This is for Paul. Right. You know, and he went to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. Right. You understand? So Peter knows what he's talking about. And so we gotta remember to listen to him. So, and here's the warning. I'm going to read it again, and we'll get right where we left off. And he talks about this and dealing with his endorsement in 2 Peter chapter number 3. But I don't want to read. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We did Sunday. Verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our master is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. That's quite an endorsement from Peter, our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him. So he was wise. So Paul was endorsed by Peter, and he was said of by Peter, he has wisdom. He's wise. Had written unto you. He's telling me he had written this unto you, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. Let me see that. Phil, that's 12 if you want to find it. Slide 12. Sorry about that. Hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now, what happens here? It's very important that we see this. Notice that he says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. As they do also the other scripture. What does he mean when he says the other scripture? Talking about Torah. That's very important. Unto their own destruction. Now, is this serious? Let me tell you how serious it is. This is a matter of eternal life. See, when I make decisions, I'm taking all of this in consideration. I'm saying, well, God, you know, we kind of got used to something. How important is this? How important is this? And I, you ask God a question, he'll keep you up for 3 nights. How important is this? I'm going to show you, and you get inundated. You inundate yourself from one verse to the next until it comes on. The light comes on, and God says, that's how important it is. This is the most important study you've ever done in your life. We don't want to fall in destruction, do we? Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Let me see that. Lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Now, are they getting out of preaching Jesus here? No, they're still preaching Jesus. This is how cruel this thing is. You ever wondered, man, how subtle the serpent had to be to trick them? That subtle. He don't mind you preaching Jesus. But don't preach Jesus the right way. You see? He don't mind that at all. If you want to tell people there's no other way to God but through Jesus, that's fine. Tell them that. But don't tell them everything. Because he'll figure a way out that make people believe that, well, maybe, you know, he understands because he loves me. What he says here, beware, lest ye also be led away with the errors of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace. Notice what we got to do. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. In the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, now we'll go to where we left off. We talked about the sure mercies of David. How many remember that? That's where we left off. Excuse me. So dealing with the sure mercies of David, we want to take off from there. I can't do a lot of review, but I had to point out that how serious this teaching is. And how we're going to have to make it, we're going to have to treat this as serious as it is. If you want to grow in God, if you want breakthrough in God, if you want to see this parish come to Christ, if you want to see your family come to Christ, this has got to be serious to you. Because I can tell you, until we make the adjustments in understanding what Galatians is all about, we're not going to understand the rest of Scripture. So we want to understand it in its fullness. Now, how many of you know we started in Acts, the book of Acts, and we're dealing with him speaking in the book of Acts. So we stopped at verse, slide 52, verse 34, and asked concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, we know what he did. He did what? Raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, with that in mind, with that information, I will give you the sure mercies of David. The sure, now Isaiah 55 verse 1 through 3 says, very powerful. I'm going to add some verses here, because while we were singing, I went back, because I'll add verses that I'm going to try to point out, but there's so many good verses there. If I use them all, the verses, we're never going to get through this teaching. I got to get us there, right? So Isaiah 55 1 says, ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Notice that. You got no money, but he says buy. Then he says, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine without wine and milk without money. Wow. See, he don't want us to get the wrong idea here. Because he says, come and buy. If you're coming and buy, it's a cost, right? It means it's not free. Well, I don't know who, if you think salvation's free, it's not. There's nothing free about it. It just didn't cost you and I anything. Somebody paid it for us. I mean, thank God for that. So watch what he says, without money, without price. Verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not? We labor it for what doesn't satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Let's see here. Incline your ears and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. How many want that? And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. There it is again. Now we see that in Acts. Talks about that. That he raised him so he wouldn't see corruption. Never to see corruption. Raised. Immortal. So he steps into that new, brand new body. Brand new first fruit. None ever like him. Christ, the resurrected Son of God. And he speaks of the sure mercies of David. And then he says this in Isaiah. But watch verse 4. Behold, I have... It won't be up here, so you have to be it in your Bible. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, a nation that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of Yahweh. Is anybody ready for this great move of God? If we understand the sure mercies of David and what's happening in our life, we're going to prepare ourselves for what's to come. And he says, they'll come because of Yahweh, thy Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. In verse 6, I made reference to this. I didn't put it there. But seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. How many remember I made reference to that? And so I just wanted to show you what I was reading from so you can see it there. Jesus of Nazareth, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Unjustly condemned by men, but highly exalted by God. How many think for he was highly exalted by God? If you want to know how he got where he was going, he was highly exalted by God. Is the one who, as a matter of history and experience, has done this very thing. Very important. Far greater numbers than ever submitted to David's rule from every nation under heaven. Acknowledge him as leader and commander. How many know David had a great following? A great following. Before Saul was ever rejected, David won the hearts of the people. Before Saul was ever rejected, he won the hearts of the people. He had a greater following than Saul did. He was the king. Well, you know what he says? Well, this Yeshua, when he comes on the scene, he's going to have a greater following than David had. See, it was promised to David, but he never could get it because we still, remember they talked about David died and we still have his bones in the box. But the one coming, you're going to get the sure mercies of David. The one coming, I'm going to raise him from the dead. That's what that's talking about. And so he says, from every nation under heaven, acknowledge him as leader and commander, prince and savior, redeemer from sin and death and light of the world. So to us today, as to the synagogue audience in Pisidian Antioch, this is because we're reading that, that's where they are, shows you on the journey, comes the assurance that by him we too may receive and enjoy the sure mercies of David. How many thank God for that? So that's what we wait for, the sure mercies of David. And that's the promise. Verse 35. Wherefore, he had also in another Psalms, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of Elohim, fell on sleep and was laid unto his father and saw corruption. But he, whom Elohim raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declared it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, who was going out of the synagogue? Who was going out of the synagogue? The Jews. Remember that. That's what usually happens, is people who's been churched first have a difficult time with the truth. But the Gentiles, they besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Something happened. The Jews were out of there. They were over there saying, I can't believe it. Did you hear what he's saying? He said that the law of Moses, you know, that's everything to us. Think about that. This is Paul's journey. But the Gentiles said, hey, can you come next Sunday? Or next Sabbath? Next Saturday? Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the words of Elohim. How many would be excited if almost the whole city came to hear the words of Elohim? We just got to keep doing what we're doing. We got to show the word of God is what it says and keep doing it and be faithful. Now, if we can't get excited about it, how can you expect anybody else to get excited about it? And, you know, you would hope we already come to the spot where people's made their mind up. But it's time to get excited. It's time for us to be excited about starting to understand the book of Galatians in light of Torah. That way, when we open up the Torah portion, it becomes real to us because we now see there's no conflict in what Paul said or anybody else. But even reading Torah today, I mean, it seems like there's some hard things there. But God wants us to understand it all. Amen? All right. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. I know that ain't happening around here, but you know, I'm feeling for Paul here. They spoke against him those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed what? Bold. How many ready to get bold? I like my coffee black. Are you ready? This is a serious matter. You got to be in or out. Because I can tell you, wishy-washy, can't make our mind up what we're going to follow. That ain't going to get it in this season we're going in. You got to be your mind made up. You got to say, okay, Lord, I'm not confused no more. That's why we're going to study Galatians, and we're not going to walk in any type of confusion or uncertainty. Should we have done this? Did we move too fast? You can't have that floating around. Holy Spirit can't work with that. We're going to have to understand. That's what Paul said, listen, you just remember, we didn't come over here because we felt like it. You think we got into this because we felt like it? It's easier on the pastor if he don't get involved in that stuff. Just preach him a message, a little sermon that, hug him, and send him home. They'll come back the next service. How did it happen? By prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, it's time, let's move on, let's go over here. And that's what happened. He said, you lay hands on them and send them out, because I'm sending them on a mission. We're on a mission here. And sometimes that mission, you know what? You're going to feel like you're by yourself. You're going to feel like, it's kind of hard. Why is the Lord telling me this and not telling anybody else? What makes you think that he's not? What makes you think that he haven't been trying to? But folks ain't ready to listen to God. So God will have somebody who will live it. How many ready to live this out no matter what? The cause. I'm going to live it out because this is what the Word of God says. Listen, when it's a strange thing when you tell somebody else who's a believer that you're reading more of the Bible, and they go, ooh, why are you doing that? Isn't that strange? Yeah, we're doing Torah portion. Why? You know, Galatians says we don't got to do that. Really? Galatians says that. Well, we're going to find out what Galatians says. Because everybody here, you'll know it. You're going to understand it. And you can't understand Galatians if you don't start where I'm starting right here, because this is where he's at in Galatia. This is going on in Galatia, and Galatians chapter number 1 hadn't happened yet. Think we ought to know what's leading us up into Galatians 1? So if somebody says, yeah, I studied Galatians, where'd you start, Galatians? You didn't start in Acts. Uh-uh. What happened in Acts? You know, them words, they don't even know how to pronounce. They're jumping over them. They have zero idea that happened in Galatia. And listen, let's admit it. We didn't know either. But we're learning. This is what it is. We're here to learn. So you got to avail yourself to the Word of God. You got to say, God, I don't want to go nowhere. I'm not interested in anything right now. I need to know what your Word is saying. Because if we keep doing it the way we've been doing it, everybody's going to get burnt out and we're not going to survive this. There's got to be a reason you sent us this way. We want to know that because he wants us to speak the truth. Remember, I said a long time ago, are you sure you ready? Now, I didn't know all of this because if I'd have knew it, I'd have taught it then. So I'm still on this journey and this quest saying, God, okay, Lord, I'm saying everything you want me to say, but boy, it sure looks like we're losing ground. But if you understand Galatians, you won't be afraid to lose any ground because you're going to say, I'm doing what God said. And that's Galatians is the only way we're going to understand it. Now, Paul and Barnabas did what? Waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you. Who's you? Think about that. It was necessary. He's in Galatia. He's in the churches there that are being set up. He's training leaders. And he said it was necessary that this happened. I don't know if this is helping you, but this helped me. I'm going over these verses and I'm like, God, you talking about me here. It was necessary that it was spoken to you, but seeing ye put it off from you and judge yourselves unworthy of what? Everlasting life. This is an eternal life issue. Understanding Galatians. That's why I'm saying, and I'll say it again, it's the most important teaching I've ever done. Because it's an eternal life issue. Lo, we turn to who? The Gentiles. So the Lord gives it. And we gotta be willing to do what he says. Or you can turn to the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord, that you don't quit your promises, because the first folks won't receive it. 47. For so hath Yahweh commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Yahweh. What did they glorify? The word. Somebody. I'm so glad somebody told me the truth. Because we knew something was wrong with what they were saying. We couldn't figure it out because we're not from them. But we just knew something wasn't right. And we're glad you gave it. So what did they praise? The word of Yahweh. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Isn't that amazing? How many ready for this? You can't keep speaking the truth and not have a breakthrough. You're going to get a breakthrough. It's going to happen. And it'll be the people that you never thought it would be. We done tried for everybody else. It'll be the folks you never dreamed. God said, I've been preparing them and waiting, just waiting for you to get it right. How many ready? Are you ready for this? You done been out, you done tried, you done begged, you done made phone calls, you done visited, you done everything you could, but God's going to stop that, and he's going to say, here's the people that I'm going to send. It's going to be completely off what you thought. And you know what they'll do? They say, oh, thank God somebody telling me the truth. I'm glad I just couldn't figure it out, but now I'm figuring it out. And when the Gentiles heard, they were glad and glorified the word of Yahweh, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Verse 49, and the word of Yahweh was published throughout all the region. Isn't that amazing? Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And expel them out of their coast. Expel them. Verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Now, notice, they've been just giving them a rough time, but they're in Iconium. What'd they do? Shook the dust off their feet. Said, okay. They got folks over there in Iconium. They'll listen. We'll go preach over there. How many know, I don't care, until the master returns, you won't get 100% that's going to agree what the truth is. I don't care where you go. You're always going to have resistance, and it's going to come from within the church. Always. So we might as well get ourselves ready for it. It's going to be what it is. But if it changes us and makes us weak and frail and pansy pants, we start sucking thumb. We weren't ready for it anyway. But if we'll wax bold and say, God, I'm only going to say what you said. And I'm going to preach what your word says, no matter what. Doesn't matter what folks think. Because your resistance is not going to come from the world. It's going to come from the church. Be family members and other ministers, people you have respect for. And it hurts when that happens. But you're going to change the truth to keep a friend? Is that what we're going to do? We're talking about eternal life here. And God's trying to judge us right also. I need to see. Is he just talks a lot? Does he have a big mouth? Does he say all this, or is he going to stand on what I say? Or would he cave into popularity and want to hang out with the rest of the guys? Or is he just going to say what he says and not back down? We got to be tested in this. And this is what's happening. They went to Iconium, And verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that's a combination that if we don't get in this church, we're wasting our time. We need some joy and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because when that happens, it's going to change how strong we're going to get in the Lord. How many find it still difficult to talk about all these things? How many want it to happen where it just flows out of you like you're pouring water out of a bottle? You don't feel bad at all. You're just flowing. You ever notice we try to hang up our belief, not to broadcast it too much because we don't want to offend nobody. And it's hard because, you know, if you got 10 people, 9 of them believe something else. So how in the world you think you right? You see, that's the difficulty. But you understand, it's not about you and I being right. It's about him being right. You're not saying what you think. You're saying what he said. So you're not there to measure what your belief is against somebody else's. You're there to say, hey, what about what the Word says? Don't matter what I think. What about what the Word says? How do you deal with what God says here? That's important. Acts 14. Because we got a lot to do here. Acts 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium, that's where they went to. That's where they are. I just showed you they went there. That they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. They went both together. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now listen, I know we were kind of beating up on the Jews just now, but he said there were both Jews and Greeks believed. How many of you know there's going to be some folks who'll come to realize this, just like you did. You're already here, and you come to realize it, and you stay. There are going to be people who will come to realize this. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. That's what you have happen. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Let me tell you, when you give your ear to somebody, just like they did, it's going to affect you, and it'll happen very quick. What'll happen? Well, it says it made their minds evil. You mean I can listen to just somebody talk nonsense about this and that in the church, and it'll make my mind evil? That's exactly what'll happen. And so what happens after that? The thing you stood for, cried over, and held hands with, you now dislike with all you got, with everything that's in you. How's that possible? Especially when that person didn't do you anything. You ever wondered that? Well, I didn't do him anything. Why are they mad at me? Because it ain't about who done what. It's about resisting the truth. And the unbeliever gets involved in that, it'll make your mind evil. Notice the mind wasn't evil, it was made evil. Should we be careful of what we listen to? Do we give our ear to? You better believe it. We better be very careful. And it happens a lot. So, evil affected against the brethren. Verse 3. Long time therefore abode, they spake boldly in Yahweh. So they're there for a while. They speaking boldly in Yahweh, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided. And part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. How many of you know that's trouble, trouble, trouble. Part's going to go and want to hold on to the old way. I know y'all don't know anybody like that, but I meet folks every now and then. They won't let go of the old way, the old system of belief. And they'll divide the house over it. I mean, you won't be invited back over it. That's what they were up against. Some held, they divided in it part and part with the apostles. Well, let's see what happened. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully to stone them. It's getting heated. Where are they? They're in Iconium. Remember that? It's getting tough. Now they're going to stone them. But verse 6. They were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the region that lie round about. So now they're in this area. Up in this area. Now they came from here, trouble, trouble, trouble. Came here, trouble, trouble, trouble. Now they're here. I wonder what's going to happen. Might be a pattern here. Verse 7. So, you know, if you're going to hold to the truth, you can leave from Plaquemines and this church and go wherever. Go find your place and just wheel up in that baby and get you a seat on the front. It won't be long. Somebody's going to ask you a question. You pop this stuff out and see if they don't show you the side door. Well, you can go somewhere else. But if you're going to hold to the truth, it's going to be tough. But that's what you should do, because the Lord gives you the truth. Understand that. Very important. And there they preached the good news. And there a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Uh-oh. How many see God about to do something here? There must have been a tough crowd, because God's going to have to do something to get them going. The same heard Paul speak, that crippled man, and steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and he walked. Can you imagine? Paul said, "You get up and walk." Everybody's around. Well, before they did that, they spoke the truth. Remember that. So, verse 11, and when the people saw that Paul had what he had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The mighty ones have come down to us in the likeness of men." They were way out there, right? The mighty ones have come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, or like Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. I'm telling you, they ordered. Cripple man jumps up. The mighty ones are here. You don't think they were steeped deep in the Greek philosophy? They believe this stuff. So naturally, when the Son of God shows up, he's considered a mighty one among us. God has, there he is, he's God. They're up against this stuff. Verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought an ox and garland into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They were, I mean, they said they're here. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people and crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye do these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that which you should Turn from these vanities unto the living Elohim, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Notice they're correcting their behavior. But how many of you know, in today's society, if somebody, a group of people in a certain town, wants you there, and you got the charisma and the talent, they'll get the garlands out for you. They'll roll the red carpet out, get you a nice parsonage. You know, we're going, you know, you come do preach for us, we'll make it right for you. You know what folks are doing today? I'll take it. Because I got an anointing. I'm anointed. And this anointing ain't cheap. This anointing ain't cheap. If you're going to come hear me, it's going to cost. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't do that. Don't do that. We're telling you, we're just men just like you. We're saved by the grace of God. But how many of you see that in our society today? People want, they want all the charisma, they want it fancy, and the church will pay for it. Because if you're there, it makes everybody look good. We're something. Who's your pastor? Well, let me tell you. You see? And that's what we see around the church world today. That's what people are after. There's nothing more than a concert going on. And people have paid to see the show. But you sit that same group down and say, let me just tell you what the Word of God says. We can't live this away. You can't behave that away. You can't act that away. Huh. Get him out. You understand? What happened? They went into town, crippled man. All of a sudden, the whole town wants him. They're going to make sacrifice, everything. Verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, still talking about Elohim, and fruit in season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, sacred, returned they, the people, restrained they, the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they don't do it. Watch this. And there came thither certain Jews from, to where? They coming from here. Now listen, where are they? They right here. Where are they coming from? From Antioch and Iconium. They coming from over there. They following them. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they plotted the whole time in Antioch, come to Iconium, got a good crowd together, and said, hey, where are they? They in Lystra and Derbe. Let's go get them. What did the church? Just like the church did this. Let's go get them. And they stoned him so bad that in their minds, he was dead. And as I was going over this, I pictured just the lifeless body of Paul. That's what I pictured in my mind. They carried him out, threw him out the town. No movement in him. But man, when you got a but God coming up, how be it? As the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city. As the disciples, what were they thinking? Man, I told Pastor Jesse, you can't say those things. We told him, just preach about Jonah and the whale. Get Daniel out of the lion's den, and David killed a giant, we're good. Now look at him. Paul, why'd you do it? While they were looking, he rose up. Can you imagine the healing power of God? The anointing on his life. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed to Derby. So he's there, he departed here. They came from here and here to here, and he departs to Derby. So I hope that this is helping you to see this, because sometimes we don't follow the journey and we don't realize this is all happening in Galatia. We ain't got to Galatians 1 yet. But a lot of stuff's going on in Galatia. Now when you read Galatians 1, we're gonna see why he said the things he said. Why did he speak the way he spoke? And when they had preached the good news to that city and had taught many, they returned again. Where'd they preach and taught many? They returned again where he got stoned. In Iconium and Antioch. Just went back. No fear. We're on a mission from God. Notice. They could have went here and got back to where they started. They could have done that. But Paul wasn't about to do things that he wanted to do. See, there's an easier way. But he said, let's just go back and recap everything. We meant what we said when we said it the first time. And just because we got stoned, it doesn't matter. We're going to still say the same thing. How many ready for that? You see, stones are flying. The stones are being hurled. Are you going to still say what God tell you to say? No matter what. Very important. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. He returned and done what? Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. He said, this is just how it's going to be. Then you got that whole group out there in the world. Man, we're not going through no tribulation. I'm so saved. I'm so saved that I ain't got to worry about nothing. Really. You ever wondered the reason you don't have to worry about anything is because you're speaking the truth. So yeah, you're not up against it. Because the words you speak, they're not coming up against the traditions and the ways it used to be. They just kind of been what's been handed down. But the moment you stand on the principles of the Word of God, the moment you say, let's go back and read what the Scripture says, that's when things change. So verse 23 said, when they had ordained them elders, they still over there, they ordained them elders in every assembly and had prayed with fastings, they commended them to Yahweh on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout, Pisidian, and they came to Pamphylia. So they back over here. And when they had preached the word in Perga, see here, Perga, and went down to Attalia, right here, they're going to go back, let's see, and thence sailed to Antioch, not through here, they went that way, went to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of Elohim for the work which they fulfilled. Isn't that something? Let me tell you, that was a serious missionary journey right there. That was serious. Up against it. The greatest enemy wasn't the devil, but it was the traditional mindset of the church. That was their biggest enemy. Think about that. So yeah, we're up against it. You're up against it. But did we change what God said? No. And when they were come and had gathered the assembly together, they rehearsed all that Elohim had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And now we're on Acts 15. So we're going through this. And there's a lot happening. But Acts 15 is critical to this whole study. So how many is good still? How many see how important this is? Now this is, again, this is the teaching. And we're going to take our time through this so everybody can understand it. So I'm going to start right here in the morning, Acts 15. I'll start right here in the morning. It's a good spot to start because Acts 15, as you can